Morning in verse number 25, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. One other thing real quick, I mentioned it in Sunday school, but for those of you who were not present in Sunday school, me and my family will be leaving tomorrow, Lord willing, going on vacation. So we're going to be out of pocket for a little while. Just wanted to let y'all know that. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, the Bible says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day, and we thank you for the privilege and the opportunity that we have to be here in church. I thank you for those that have come, for those that are present. And Lord, right now I do pray that you would please clear our mind of all distraction. Lord, please help us to be able to be alert and focus on the Word of God. Lord, help me to be alert and be able to preach the Word of God. Lord, I ask for your help, for your grace, for your strength, and I pray, God, for liberty. Pray for a good spirit here in the service. Lord, we thank you for everything that you've done for this church, for everything that you continue to do. And Lord, I do pray that we would always strive to be the kind of church that you want us to be. Lord, at the end of the day, it just doesn't matter what we think about ourselves. What matters is, are we being what you want us to be? And I pray, Lord, that you would help us. Help it to be the desire of our heart as individuals, as families, and a church, to be everything that is pleasing in your sight. Forgive me, Lord, where I fail you. Thank you for dying on the cross for our sins, that we could have eternal life as a free gift. And I pray this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Well, as most of you know, next Sunday is Father's Day. And that being the case, I am going to preach today to the men of our congregation. I'm doing it today because I'm not going to be present next Sunday. And I don't want you men to miss out on an opportunity to get preached at, okay? Back on Mother's Day, I preached to the ladies, and I told the ladies then just to hang on that Father's Day was coming up. So I don't want to be a hypocrite, all right? And since I'm not going to be here on Father's Day, I'm going to take this opportunity today to preach to the men of the congregation. And I say men because what I'm going to deal with applies not just to fathers, but to every single man who has been saved by the grace of God. And the title for this sermon is Men We Need. Men We Need. And this is a sermon about the type or kind of men. And hopefully you understand. It should go without saying that when I say men, I'm talking about real men. I'm not talking about some woman who has decided that she wants to be a man. Now, we got a lot of that stuff going on today, and I don't know where you stand, but I can tell you right now where I stand. I believe it's an abomination in the eyes of God. So I'm not talking to any woman who, and hopefully to goodness, we ain't got no women like this in the church, but I'm not talking this morning about these women who have decided through medication or surgery that they're going to be a man. I'm talking about real men this morning, people that were created male by the only one who creates anyone, and that's the Lord. And this is a message about the type or kind of men that God intends, expects, and I would even say demands all saved men to be. So if you're here this morning and you are a man and you are saved, then this message is for you. You don't have to wonder, is he preaching to me? If you are a man and you are saved, then I'm preaching to you this morning. And I have put these men into four specific categories that I want us to look at. First of all, I want you to look with me right here at Ephesians chapter 5 once again. And I want to say, according to the Bible, and the Bible is always the standard and the absolute final authority in all matters of faith and practice. That's the way it is. And according to the Bible, we need men that will love their wives like Christ loved the church. Where are my women at this morning? I cannot believe any women didn't say amen right there. I'm just absolutely amazed by that. Now, ladies, if you want it to go over well, get with me this morning, all right? Y'all don't go to sleep just because I ain't preaching to you. Y'all say sick 'em to the bulldog this morning. Y'all encourage me on as I preach to you men this morning, all right? All right, that's a little bit better. At least Miss Janet said amen anyway. Knowing who she's married to, I can understand why. We need men that will love their wives like Christ loved the church. Whenever you look at Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 22 and going all the way through chapter 6 and verse number 4, you see that Paul addressed the family. He deals with the family in those verses. In verse 22 through verse 24, he talks to the wives. And basically what he says is that the wives are to submit themselves unto their own husbands as unto the Lord. But then when you come to verse number 25, Paul begins dealing with the husbands. And this is what Paul says to the husbands. He says, husbands, if you're a husband this morning, especially if you're a saved husband, then this is what God says to you. Husbands, love your wives. Amen? That's what he says. Husbands, love. And notice he says, husbands, love your wives. Just like he says the wives are to submit themselves unto their own husbands, God says the husbands are to love their wives. You are not to love somebody else's wife. Amen. You're not to be longing for somebody else's wife. You're not to be lusting after somebody else's wife. Your commitment, your dedication, your affection is to be for your wife to the exclusion of everybody else's wife. Amen. And that should go without saying, but again, y'all understand how things are nowadays. But husbands are to love their wives. And I've heard husbands say before, well, you know, she's not the woman that she used to be. To that I would say, have you looked in the mirror lately? I suspect your wife could say the same thing about you. And I've always found it kind of humorous, these men that complain about how their wives are not attractive anymore. And most of the time that's coming from somebody who looks like Mr. Potato Head. They got no hair up top, they're round, and their parts are falling off. You know what I mean? But somehow they say, my wife's just not attractive. Well, let's just be honest. Most of us don't get more attractive as the years go by, right? I mean, that's just not reality. And if you got married just on the basis of how she looked or you looked, I don't think things are going to work out too well for you. So you need to love your wife. That woman that you said you was going to love till death do us part, you remember that commitment you made? You remember standing before that altar, or maybe you were in the courthouse, wherever it was that you decided you were going to get into that covenant with that woman? That woman you said you were going to love for the rest of your life, you are to love that woman for as long as you are on this earth. That's what God said. But now look at it. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also love the church. How is the husband supposed to love his wife? He said, husbands, love your wives, but then he tells you how it is that the Lord expects us to love our wives. He says, even as Christ also loved the church. So the standard for how I'm to love my wife is the greatest standard of all, right? The Lord Jesus Christ. God wants me to love my wife as Jesus Christ loved the church. Now, how did Christ love the church? Well, he explains it to you in the verse. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. How did the Lord love the church? The Lord loved the church sacrificially, right? He gave himself, and it was the Lord who said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. The greatest expression of love according to Jesus Christ is sacrifice, right? Greater love hath no man than this, than that a man would lay down his life for his friends. The greatest expression of love is sacrifice, a person giving their life for another human being. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ did. Jesus Christ said that I lay down my life. He said, no man takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. Jesus Christ gave everything that he could possibly give for the church. And here's the thing us men need to understand, especially those of us who are married, he expects no less from us. He is the standard. You're not to look around at other men and view them as the standard. You are to look to the man of all men, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is to be the standard. How he loved the church is exactly how you are supposed to love your wife. And again, you might think, well, she's kind of hard to love. Let me remind you that Jesus Christ died for a bunch of sinners. He didn't die for people that are easy to love. I know it's hard for you to admit, but the fact of the matter is, I'm talking about from God's perspective here, you're not easy to love. You're not easy to love. You are a sinner. Do you understand that this morning? And from God's perspective, you're not easy to love, but he loved us in spite of us. And he gave himself in spite of us with the desire to help transform us into the kind of bride he wants for himself. Take a look at what it says in verse 26 and 27. It says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it. This is talking about the church to himself, a glorious church. This is what the Lord wants. He wants a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. You know why he loved us when we didn't deserve to be loved? Why he died for us in spite of us, not because of us? So he could transform us into the church that he wants for himself. And I believe that it should be our motivation. Why should I love my wife? Christ loved the church. Well, first and foremost, because the Lord said I'm supposed to do that. But secondly, so that hopefully I can help her become everything that God wants her to be. Through the giving of myself, and I'm talking about giving of myself completely, body, soul, and spirit. That's what Christ did, right? He gave every ounce of his being hanging there on the cross. He gave everything. And I'm to give body, soul, and spirit for my wife. That means I'm to give my time. I'm to give my resources. I'm to give my life, if necessary, for my wife. That's what God expects from me. That's what God expects from every one of you that's a husband. And what is the motivation? Through the giving of myself, hopefully, my wife can be transformed more and more and more into the person that God wants her to be. That's the motivation. That's the desire to try to help my wife be everything that the Lord wants her to be. So men, first of all, we need men that will love their wives like Christ loved the church. Now number two, let me move on in the message. Not only do we need men that will love their wives like Christ loved the church, but secondly, we need men that will lead by example in the church. lead by example in the church. And let me say real quick before I go any farther. In what I'm about to say, I have no intention whatsoever to diminish in any way the role of good godly women in the local church, okay? So ladies, please don't take it that way. That's not my intention. I don't believe that I could express in words how valuable it is to have good godly women in a church. It is a wonderful blessing when you have those kind of ladies in a local assembly. So I'm not in any way trying to diminish or devalue your role. Please, please don't think that. But I'm telling you, one of the great missing elements in our churches today, and I'm talking about the majority of our churches, one of the great missing elements is a strong spiritual male influence. We are missing that in the majority of churches. In fact, there are a lot of churches, and I think y'all would probably agree with what I'm about to say, there are a lot of churches that right now would not function, they would not exist were it not for the women in that congregation. And that's just how it is. There are a lot of churches where the women, I'd say the majority of churches where the women are more active and more faithful than the men are. And what I'm trying to say to you this morning is that's not how it's supposed to be. Yes, we've got to have those good godly women, but the Lord wants some men to step up and take the bull by the horns, so to speak, and be willing to be an active part within the church. That's what God desires. That's what God wants from saved men. He wants that strong spiritual male influence. Listen, man, God expects you, and I hope you understand this today. God expects you, or if you are a saved man and you're a member of this church, He expects you to be an example of faithfulness to everybody in this congregation here. You hear what I'm saying to you? He expects you to be an example of faithfulness. You need to be somebody that leads your family to the church house at the appropriate time. Amen. You need to be the one. How many times have we seen it where ladies have to come to church without their husbands? How many times have we seen that? And I understand sometimes the man is working or is out of town, something like that. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about these men. We'll be nice here. I'm talking about these men who stay at home and they're lazy boy watching something on TV while their wife gets ready and goes to church. That's the men I'm talking to this morning. You ought to be ashamed of yourself if you one of them men. See? You, as for me and my house, what Joshua said, we will serve the Lord. You ought to step up and lead your family. Be the man that God wants you to be and make sure you are an example of faithfulness in the church. Be there and be there with your family, if at all possible. Be an example of faithfulness. Don't make your wife have to come without you unless it's absolutely necessary. And I will say this before I move on. I'm thankful for those women that'll get up and come on anyway. Thank the Lord they don't let their husband who's loafing off and too sorry to come keep them from coming. Amen. Boy, it's getting sweet in here, ain't it? I'm glad they'll get up and come on. I appreciate them being here. But men, I'm talking to you this morning. You need to lead by example in the church. You need to set a good example to the other men, to the women. And listen, men, you need to try to set an example to the children that are coming up in this church right here. The little kids that are growing up in this church ought to be able to look to the men of this congregation, especially the little boys that are growing up in this church. They ought to be able to look to the men in this congregation as a good example of faithfulness. Not just faithfulness, but service. That means you're willing to help out. That means you, as a man, you're willing to take on some responsibility in the church. If the pastor needs your help with something, you're willing to step up and help the pastor with whatever it is that needs to be done. I mean taking a position or just helping out with something around the church, but getting involved and serving God within the local church. That's for the men I'm talking to. And I will say this. We have some men here that do what I'm talking about right here. We got some good, faithful men, some men that are very dedicated, and you step up and you help out. I think back just a few weeks ago to when we had the ladies' night. There were so many of you men that stepped up, and you didn't gripe, you didn't complain, at least not in my presence anyway, you didn't. And you were willing to help out and do that for the ladies of this church. I thank the Lord for that. I think back just to last Saturday when we had our kids' day. There were a lot of men that showed up here at the church to help cook and clean and take part in that. Thank God for that. Amen. I appreciate that male presence, but that's what we need. That's the way it's supposed to be. We need men that will lead by example in the church. Now, number three, I got to move on. We need men that will love their wives like Christ loved the church. We need men that will lead by example in the church. And number three, we need men that will live for God outside the church. We need men that will live for God outside the church. It's one thing to be a certain way in church, right? And most of us, I mean, let's just be honest about it this morning. Most of us are good at that, right? We can all get up on Sunday mornings and put on our Sunday go-to-meeting clothes, and we can come to church, and we can smile at least for a couple hours here at church and say the right lingo and all that kind of stuff. And I appreciate it. I like that. I enjoy the whole church thing. I do. I love coming to church. I love being around God's people. I love the amens. I love the praise the Lord. I love the hallelujahs. I love the singing. I just love church. Amen. I love it. I look forward to it. It's something that I really, really love. So don't take what I'm saying bad. But what I'm concerned about, and I believe what God is the most concerned about, is not how we are while we're here. You understand? But how we are when we leave. What we need is men that will live for God outside of the church. We need that. Let me give you some scripture. We're not going to turn there for the sake of time. But in Psalm chapter 12 and verse number 1, the psalmist said, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men." He said, Lord, we need some help. Why did he say we need help? He said, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth." The idea is we're running out of godly men. Lord, we need some help down here because the godly men are now few and far between. That's what he's saying. I believe it would probably be safe to say the very same thing today. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth. Running out of godly men. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 11. Listen to this. Paul said to Timothy, he said, "Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness." He said, follow after righteousness and godliness. Titus chapter 2 and verse number 12. Paul said, we are to live soberly, righteously, and godly. Now listen to what he said. Soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That's where we are, right? We live down here. Where does God expect us to live? Soberly, righteously, and godly. Hey, when we get to heaven, we're going to live that way, right? There's not even going to be a choice. I mean, when you get to heaven, I get to heaven, we're going to be sober. We're going to be righteous, and we're going to be godly, no question about it. What God's concerned with is how we're living right now. How are we living down here in this present world? Man, how are you living in this present world? You may be going to heaven one day and everything's going to be great and you're going to be perfect and sinless then, but how are you living now? That's what God's looking at. And in this present world, he expects you to live godly. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 6, Peter said we're to add to patience godliness. You know what godliness is? It can be described as just doing what God says. Or it can be described as you trying to be like God, being as God-like as you possibly can. And that's what we need. Man, we need some guys that will step up and live for God outside the church. not just here, but outside. So, men, I ask you this morning, how's it going outside of church? I'm talking about Monday through Saturday. Not on Sunday when you're here, if you're here, but Monday through Saturday, how's it going in your life? What are you doing Monday through Saturday when you're at work, when you're around your friends, when you're at home with your family? How's it going outside of church? God is looking at you, sir, and he's expecting godliness out of you. That's what he desires. That's what he demands from you. That involves you being the husband that God expects you to be. That involves you being the father that God expects you to be. If you have children, then according to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 4, you're to bring your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's what he says to the fathers, right? So, and this is something I've seen happen through the years. These men, you know, they have children, and then they throw their kids off on their wife and expect her to raise the kids, and they're going to go off and make a living. Well, I'm all for making a living, okay. I realize it has to be done. But I am not for any man throwing their children off on their wife and expecting her to raise the children by herself. That is not what the Bible teaches. He doesn't say to the wives, bring your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. He says to the fathers, you bring your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That means it's your place, your responsibility above your wife to make sure that you teach and instruct your children in the things of God. It also means that if necessary, you give some discipline to your children. Don't put it off on your wife. God expects you to do that. So this living for God outside of church has to do with your home life, how you are at home. It has to do with how you are at work, what kind of employee you are. Are you setting a good example on the job? Are you somebody that your boss can depend on? He can count on you. You're not somebody that's sloughing off and being lazy and only working when the boss man's looking at you. Paul talks about that, just being a person who does things with eye service. Just working when the boss shows up. That's not a good example. And listen, if you say you're saved, you ought to try to be the best you can possibly be on your job. So what kind of employee are you? This living for God outside of church involves you living as clean and pure a life as you possibly can. It involves that. It involves you being as separate from this world as you can possibly be. It involves you standing against wrong when you have opportunity. It involves you being a witness for the Lord. Basically, it involves every single area of your life. As a saved man, you should seek to be as much like the Lord as you can in every single area of your life, not just one or two. So we need men that will live for God outside the church. You say, well, I'm doing real good. How about let's let your wives stand up and talk for a little while? Let's see what they would have to say. Well, they probably wouldn't say anything negative because they, you know, in church and they wouldn't want to hurt anybody's feelings and stir up a ruckus. But let's just admit the truth this morning. Our family knows us better than anybody except the Lord, right? They know how you are when you're not at church. How you doing, men? When you're outside of church, when you're not here at New Hope Baptist Church, how you doing out there? You living for God out there? That's what we need. And then last of all, let me say this. Not only do we need men that will love their wives like Christ loved the church and lead by example in the church and live for God outside the church, but last of all, we need some men that will labor to get people into the church. Labor to get people into the church. I'm going to quote a verse of scripture to you, Luke chapter 14 and verse number 23. The Lord Jesus Christ said, go out. Did y'all hear that? Go out, that's out here, okay? Go out into the highways and hedges, listen, and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. That's what the Lord said. You know what the Lord would love to see this morning? If it's done for the right reason and it's done in the right way, you know what the Lord would love to see this morning? He'd love to see standing room only in this church building. Wouldn't he? He'd love, that'd be wonderful to the Lord. Now, not if we're doing it for the wrong reason, and not if we're doing it through compromise and worldly junk. That's not what I'm talking about. But if you're doing it for the right reason, to try to bring people to the Lord Jesus Christ, to help Christians grow, and if you're doing it the right way, without compromise and without dabbling in the world, if you're doing it the right way, the Lord would love to see every spot filled in his house this morning. Wouldn't he? Now, with that in mind, let me ask you something. Men, and of course this applies to the ladies, but again, we're preaching to the men this morning. Men, what are you doing to try to get people to come to New Hope Baptist Church? What are you doing? Are you inviting anybody? When was the last time you invited somebody to go to church with you? When was the last time you told a friend about our church? And not in a bad way, but told them something good about our church. When was the last time you said to a coworker, to a friend, just somebody, hey, man, come go to church with me Sunday. I really think we got a great pastor. You don't have to lie, okay? But seriously, I can just tell you, if you're not excited about our church, not very likely anybody else is going to be excited about our church. What are you doing, men? When was the last time you invited somebody? When was the last time you had a conversation with somebody who's not a member of this church and with excitement explained to them just how much you would love for them to be with us next Sunday? When was the last time you did that? I think we need that, don't you? I think we need men, not just, well, we need all of us, the pastor and everybody, but men, I'm talking to you this morning. We need every man in this place that's a child of God and a member of this church to get excited about New Hope Baptist Church and do anything you can to try to get people to come to this church. Now, I can tell you from experience, not everybody you invite is going to show up, right? But this I do know, it's not very likely they're going to come if you don't invite them. What are you doing, guys? What are we doing? We need men that will love their wives like Christ loved the church. We need men that will lead by example in the church. Men that will live for God outside of church. And we need men that will labor to get people into the church. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. And men especially, I want you to think about yourself this morning. Think about your home life, how it is between you and your wife. I want you to think about your example here in the church. I want you to think about how you're living outside of church, around your friends, your neighbors, your co-workers, what kind of example you're being there. You think about how often you try to get people to come to our church. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, and I thank you for the chance that we have to be here. And Lord, I ask you to help us. Help us men. God, we need you. We need you. And I ask you to help us. Lord, help us to be the men that you want us to be. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together.